grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, the 6th chapter of St. Matthew, verses 26 and 27, and verses 31 through 34. Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' But the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." There can be no doubt that we live in a fragile world, and that you and I are fragile creatures. And that's why we need to take to heart the words of our Savior in the Gospel for this Lord's Day. No less than three times the Lord Jesus says, "Do not be anxious." But he doesn't only give a command, he speaks to our all too real anxieties by painting a beautiful picture in words through which his never failing care and love shine through. He not only says, "Don't be anxious," saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" He goes right on to say, "Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things," as if to say, "You're not lonely orphans left to fend for yourselves. You're the beloved children of your gracious heavenly Father." And then Jesus turns to the creation around him and says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will." Commenting on these words, Dr. Luther once said that the Lord Jesus has made the little birds our teachers. And so the sparrow on the grass, the robin in the bush are our teachers. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." And Jesus goes on to say, "Are you not of more value than they?" Yes, we are of more value than they. For the same God who so wonderfully made and preserves this fragile creation also sent his Son to save us. God the Son became fully human and himself lived in this fragile world where people need not only food and drink and clothing, but also love and trust and hope. Because he became fully human, he knows by experience what it means to be hungry and tired and thirsty and indeed homeless, as he said, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He knows by experience what it is to be pressed down by the cares and the troubles of this fragile life. And because all this is so, the wonderful words once spoken by the psalmist become even more wonderful in the radiant light of the Son of God, who is also the Son of Man. The psalmist prayed, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Yes, this is a fragile world, and we are fragile human beings. But as the scriptures say, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He is our Father, the Father who spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all. He has seen our deepest need, the need for that pardon of our sins that opens the gates of heaven to all who place their trust in him. The Lord Jesus, who said, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is your Father's good pleasure, his delight, his joy, to give you the kingdom. And what is God's kingdom? It's his kingly rule of compassion and mercy, embodied in his Son made flesh for our salvation and that of the whole world. And so the Lord Jesus tells us inhabitants of this fragile world, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. He doesn't ask us to ignore the needs of this body and life, but he does teach us to seek first the kingdom, his kingly rule of compassion and mercy, embodied in his Son. Because under that kingly rule of compassion and mercy, we are free to lay tomorrow with all its troubles and cares in the truly loving hands of the Savior, the hands which still bear those glorious scars, the marks of the nails, the marks of his love, as Charles Wesley sings in one of his wonderful hymns, those dear tokens of his passion still his dazzling body bears, cause of endless exultation to his ransomed worshipers. With what rapture gaze we on those glorious scars. A fragile world this is, and fragile creatures we are. But this fragile world has a Savior. Each one of us has a Savior who has prepared for us things which no eye has seen nor ear heard nor have entered the human heart. And through the many difficult experiences that are our inescapable lot, we're being taught that we're not permanent residents in this fragile world, but that we are rather travelers passing through a strange land on our way home to that home that will be home indeed. And travelers on the way home from a long journey don't become unduly attached to all the places and experiences along the way. We need a sense of proportion, something that seems to be so sorely lacking in today's world, though perhaps it's just always been lacking in this fragile, fallen world. I often think that what makes our troubles even worse than they need to be is this loss of a sense of proportion. And I submit that the words of Jesus in the gospel we've heard today can, among other things, help us to regain a sense of proportion. And in this connection, some wonderful words of St. Paul to the Christians in the city of Corinth come to mind. And the words of St. Paul are these: "So we do not lose heart, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen." Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God,